You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Welcome to the Earth Station MCU podcast, your home for all things related to the Marvel Cinematic Universe, including Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Agent Carter, The Avengers, Guardians of the Galaxy, and so much more. Visit us at our Facebook group, Earth Station MCU, at earthstationmcu.wordpress.com, or email us at earthstationmcu@gmail.com. Universe, and welcome back to another episode of Earth Station MCU. And while John is out tonight, I am joined by Mr. Mike Gordon.
Howdy!
And how are you tonight, sir?
I am peachy keen. I am very honored to come back. It's been a while, but I have enjoyed S.H.I.E.L.D. and a lot of other Marvel stuff, so this is... It's fun to be back.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Well, happy to have you back, and I always appreciate you're always willing to jump in when we need somebody, so I super much appreciate that. So we've had a lot of news and a lot of rumors going around lately. I guess the big thing today was got up this morning and everyone was saying Fantastic Four is totally coming back. And then a little bit later, they said, "Yeah, Marvel's actually officially denied that."
Yeah.
So that was kind of disappointing. But I don't know. It seems like that's happening a lot lately, where someone will hear something. I think there was something else. Maybe it was. Oh, it was Inhumans, right? That was the last one where somebody heard something at Comic-Con. That Inhumans was being canceled or something, and the next day everyone was saying, "Oh, it's for sure canceled."
Yeah, which is so weird because I'm like, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is really kind of building up to this Inhumans movie.
Exactly.
It was the same week, in fact, that in S.H.I.E.L.D. they had had the map, and they had actually predicted the date of the movie.
Exactly.
So it's kind of like, well, I think they'd cancel the movie because they just predicted it on the show.
Exactly. Exactly. Because that was the spread of the Terrigen fish oil stuff, right?
It just goes to show you, though, I mean, how crazy everybody is for information on Marvel and the properties. Specifically, you know, as annoyed as I am with everybody jumping on the bandwagon to bash the Fantastic Four movie. Mm-hmm. And it may deserve it. I have not seen it. So it certainly seems like it's bash worthy. But, and yes, we all do want, I think, all the properties of Marvel to come home to Marvel Disney because they've done such a great job with everything. I mean, even at its worst, there hasn't been a real bad stinker of the bunch, whether you count the movies and the shows and everything like that. I mean, there's this level of consistency that they maintained, which nobody thought they would be able to. Everybody wants to predict that
Ant-Man's
the next
fail,
one,
Guardians
of the Galaxy is going to fail, or you know, or Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is canceled, or this, that, the other thing, and you know, and it's just not happening. I mean, the like I said, the level of consistency has been great, and the fans just want more and more and more. And so we're getting all these huge like announcements, and everybody does want to see the. I almost think that they. I wonder how many people who are really like, you know, we want the Fantastic Four back with Marvel, really know who the Fantastic Four are.
That's
like,
a good point, yeah.
Like, when, you know, but one thing's certain, that if Marvel's going to make the Fantastic Four a movie or a show, whatever they want to do with them, that it's probably going to be pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like, every time we have a new writer or a new director come up, and everyone's like, huh, I've never heard of that person, you know, my response is always... You know, Marvel has picked the right people every time. I mean, even the movies that haven't done as well, like the Hulk movie with Edward Norton, it wasn't that the people in it weren't good, and it's not that the director wasn't good. It was, you know, it was just you know, not maybe not the right time or something. For me, the only movie that super hardcore was disappointing was Thor: The Dark World, and there were lots of reasons behind that, in terms of, you know, rewrites and, you know, the fact that they had such a talented person for the villain and gave him nothing to do. But like you said, even it's like pizza, right? You know, even a really bad Marvel movie is still a Marvel movie, and it's not that bad.
No, absolutely not. And you know, last time I think, well, shortly before I think the last time I was on this mm-hmm. show with you, I mean, I got to admit that I struggled through the first season of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I liked Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It was good. It was fun. But I never, like, I can't remember that first season ever going, man, I really need to see Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, like, yeah. It felt like an obligation for the first two-thirds of the season.
Yeah, I would say that. And that's being kind. but it wasn't, you know what, though? I mean, there was a lot of hate towards it, too. And I'm like, well, you know, you just have to let these things kind of sometimes, like, you know, blossom.
Yeah.
And boy, has Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. blossom. I mean, we're on season three, mm-hmm. and it is must see for me.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
They've done so much. I know that you've mentioned it a few times before, but I think it bears repeating that a lot of these, you know, you just don't know. Some of the characters were just so flat, you kind of mm-hmm. blame it on the actors. Like, right. Oh, I don't think that they're really capable of doing anything in mm-hmm. depth, you know? But boy, are we seeing that really pay off this season. And that's been pretty exciting.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, and we'll get to this when we're talking about the episode specifically. But, you know, that was one of the big flaws with S.H.I.E.L.D. at the beginning, was that the characters, I don't think, were differentiated enough. You know, Ward was just generic, you know, handsome, tall, white guy with a suit. You know, he could have been interchangeable for, you know, any procedural cop show or something. And Fitzsimmons were just kind of mushed together. And yeah, absolutely. They very much blossomed over the last couple of years. But point being, I have a lot of faith in Marvel that if they're going to do something, they're going to do a good job with it. And that just grows with every new thing that they do in terms of, I mean, Daredevil was amazing. And everyone that I've spoken with that was at New York Comic Con, including George Marston and Adam Garcia, who saw the preview episode for Jessica Jones, have said it is fantastic. It is better than Daredevil.
Wow.
And for something that has, Daredevil, I think, has a 98% for critics and a 96% for fans on Rotten Tomatoes, that's a pretty high bar to set. So.
Yeah, definitely. That's amazing. I mean, I'm familiar with the comic series Alias, mm-hmm. which is what Jessica
right.
Jones is based on. And it was good,
mm-hmm.
And it was pretty fun to read,
mm-hmm.
But I don't know if I'd ever would have said at any point that it was better than Daredevil was
sure.
as its highest point. So
yeah.
That's pretty interesting. But I'm very excited for that series as well.
Yeah, and like I said, at this point we don't know a lot about it, but then again, we knew almost nothing about Daredevil in terms of, you know, who was in it or what the storylines were going to be initially. And, of course, we know David Tennant is going to be in Jessica Jones, and I know you and I are both very familiar with his work
from
Doctor Who and everything else.
And I'm very excited to see him, you know, play the bad guy. And I think, you know, as, like I said, I've read the series, I'm familiar with the Purple Man, at
mm-hmm.
least in this storyline. And or how he's going to be used in this series, I can only guess. And I think Tennant is perfect for it. And I think he's gonna creep a lot of people out.
Absolutely,
which is
awesome.
Right.
Yes,
exactly. I think he's more than capable of doing that.
Definitely. Speaking of Jessica Jones, one of the additional people that's been announced is Carrie Ann Moss, which I thought was interesting. Of course, she's best known as Trinity, but. She's playing Jiren Hogarth. Were you familiar with that character before?
Only slightly.
Uh-huh.
It took me a minute to figure out that it actually, because I believe in the comic, it's actually a male character.
Correct, yep.
So yeah, it wasn't something that I saw, hey, you know?
Right.
But I remember him being an Iron Man character.
Iron Fist.
I'm sorry, Iron Fist,
yep.
Yes, thank
mm-hmm.
you. because I was reading The Immortal Iron Fist when Matt Fraction was writing it, and it was an amazing title then. So I do. So that's kind of interesting that she's going to. Well, I mean, it's not a surprise, you know, that they're mixing characters that are going to overlap.
Sure.
Especially since I think, if I'm not mistaken, the end goal is to have a lot of these shows combine characters into
Defenders.
A Defender series, right?
Exactly. Yep.
So, and you know, Carrie Ann is great. I can't think of any time where I've seen something where she gave a bad performance.
Right.
So whether it was Memento. Or the Matrix. I mean, I didn't care for the second, the last two Matrix movies,
but she was good.
Yeah, absolutely. She's solid. So
yeah,
that's exciting.
Yeah, she was of course one of the people that was at the press conference for New York Comic Con. I was very sad that David Tennant was not at that. Not that I was at New York Comic Con, but they said that he sent along a taped message, which was pretty cool. So. So yeah, she's going to be one of these characters that is in multiple series. She's obviously going to be pretty core to the Iron Fist, which we haven't learned a lot about that series, but it's still more than a year away at this point, I think.
Yeah, I don't know. Has Danny Rand been cast?
I don't know.
That I'm not sure about.
I don't think so.
Rumors that it was. Somebody who had that the fanboys were not liking.
Yeah.
I remember that. But of course, that could be anybody.
Sure.
Now, I also did see, I don't know if it was an official, but I did see that there are rumors that we might be getting another Netflix series with Moon Knight.
I haven't heard that. Tell me about Moon Knight.
Well, Moon Knight's a character that was kind of a Marvel's answer to Batman.
Okay.
And the fact that he's obviously a nighttime vigilante, and he's a. I read one series on him a while back, and I don't know how backstory his history is. Mm-hmm. But I did see something that that he is one of the contenders for a Netflix series, and I think because he has informal, obviously indirect ties to Batman, because he is sort of a Batman-like figure.
Sure,
where he sticks to the shadows, he's an awesome fighter. He fights at night. He's a vigilante, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
That I think that obviously that would be attractive to any network to be like, hey, we want a Batman show. That's cool,
right? You know?
Unless you're Fox and we're like, we want a Batman show, but without Batman.
Hey, don't diss on Gotham. I think Gotham's a lot of fun.
No, I do too. I just was making a joke.
Yeah.
I
see right here. Screen Crush has something about a rumor Moon Knight reportedly in development at Netflix.
Yeah.
Cool.
At this point, I mean, Netflix. I guess they can't get enough Marvel.
Yeah.
I mean, this is like would this be the fifth series?
Right, because there's Daredevil, which of course has gotten a second season order already, and Jessica Jones, and Luke Cage, and Iron Fist, and then Moon Knight would be the fifth one.
Yep, and I've heard, obviously I've heard everything from Blade to Punisher to what have you.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, all would be in that sort of Defenders-type realm.
Right, not the high fantasy, flying around the universe kind of stuff, but more the street level heroes.
Right, absolutely, and I think that's what Defenders was at its best. Although they did fight, they did have the Hulk at one point in the comics, anyway, and they were, I think, led by Doctor Strange, so there was some elements there. But, whatever they decide to do, I'm on board. I mean, obviously they've done a pretty good job at taking elements from the comics and sort of adapting them and changing them when they felt necessary, and usually not in ways that really upset too many people. So
right.
Which is amazing. I mean, that's just like I said, the level of consistency that they've done over the years since Iron Man, since that first Iron Man movie, has just been outstanding.
Yeah, I mean, when you think of how critical, fandom tends to be of stuff, it's pretty amazing that there hasn't, I mean, you and I are familiar with the Doctor Who fandom, and it seems like every day there is somebody saying, well, I hate this, and this is going to be terrible, and it's totally, and I'm not saying you don't hear that from Marvel fans, because obviously there's millions of them, and there are some people always that are going to be negative, but on the whole, it's been very positive. So.
It's been very positive, and also I think it's interesting because I don't know, I mean, now I think we're in a place where we're like, well, like, who do we credit now? Because, yeah. I mean, for the first, like, we'll call it, I guess, phase one with the Iron Man movies, I mean, Jon Favreau was the guy.
Right.
Like, he was the guy that was sort of overseeing everything Marvel, and then he kind of passed that baton to Joss Whedon,
right,
who has run with it to huge heights. Now Joss has stepped back, and as far as I know, Joss has nothing to do with Marvel right now.
No, he doesn't. And it looks like the Russos are probably going to be the next guiding force behind the MCU for at least for Phase 3, because they did Winter Soldier, and they're on board for Civil War, and I believe that they're going to be doing both of the Infinity War movies. So that has them pretty centrally located on all of the big cattle call stuff going on.
They have made a break though with between the what's going on with TV and what's going on with movies, though, correct?
Well, yes,
I mean,
and no.
Although, obviously with S.H.I.E.L.D., and we'll talk about it, I guess, in a little bit, but, I mean, this season so far has been, we're leading up to Civil War.
Right. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And the thing is, right now, Kevin Feige had been reporting up to Ike Perlmutter, in terms of the org chart for everything, and who is the basically the head of Marvel. And now he is reporting straight up to Disney as opposed to Marvel. And so a lot of people, I remember when we were at Dragon Con, a lot of people were talking about the fact that, oh, well, the movies and TV are going to be completely separate now. But I don't really think that's the case. I think it's more that that they're going to have a little bit more freedom in what they do with the movies to some degree, in that there were some things that were apparently handed down from on high in terms of decisions that Perlmutter had made. Most notably, it's rumored that he was the one that said Black Widow needs to not have a solo movie because no one will go to it. and she doesn't need to be in the merchandising, but that's rumor. I don't know if that was actually true. Right. But yeah, you're right. It's obviously leading up towards Civil War. It's obviously leading towards Inhumans in the case of S.H.I.E.L.D. You've still got characters that are crossing over. We know that Daredevil is supposed to be in Civil War, and supposedly once we get to Infinity War, we're going to have all of the Defenders, all the Guardians of the Galaxy, Avengers Team 1 and Team 2 and everything. You know, we've got there's a lot of question right now as to whether or not any of the S.H.I.E.L.D. characters will cross over to the Defenders, but I think that would be great if they did. But I know that there's concern that they're going to go in two different directions, but I don't know if that's really well-founded at this point. So I guess we'll have to see.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely seems that right now, anyway, there's no indication, despite the fact that the baton has been passed from one to another,
right,
that there's been any drop in quality or anything of that nature. So they've done, like I said, what they are doing, what they continue to do has been unprecedented.
Yeah.
And it's just, like I said, pretty exciting. And you can tell, I mean, the fact that, you know, listening to your podcast, it's like there's always news.
Yes, yes.
They're like almost every day. I mean, even if it's some rumor, and I don't know if they're, you know, causing the rumors or not, but, you know, whether it's something Marvel related, something MCU related, whether it's movie or TV, is popping up
pretty much every day.
Every day.
Yeah.
Every day. Like even the list of news items that you said, okay, these are kind of some of the stuff that has happened this week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I said, I just mentioned the Moon Knight stuff, which
wasn't even on my list. So,
right.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then there's other stuff too that were kind of like, you know, was whether the Hulk's going to be in the new Thor movie or, you know, that kind of thing. And just like stuff just pops up. Like you could, any entertainment site that you go to right now, one of the top stories, if not more than one, is Marvel related.
Yeah, absolutely. And part of that is, you know, right after, you know, San Diego Comic-Con or New York Comic-Con, those are places where they do a lot of promoting. And so it's not really surprising the week after that that there's going to be a lot of news. But you're right, it's pretty consistently happening, you know, all the time. Now, you mentioned the thing about Hulk, and that's something that is driving me nuts, because like I said, there have been so many things where people will say, oh, well, this is a thing that's totally happening. And it used to be that, you know, some minor site would say this, and all the fans would get excited, but you didn't see the big fandom sites picking those stories up. They were, you know, they were waiting to see if Marvel was going to confirm it or Disney or anything. And man, lately it's all over the place. I mean, the tiniest little rumor and everyone is spreading it. And that Hulk thing today was just kind of the latest, because the idea is that he's going to be, you know, not quite double billing for Thor Ragnarok, but it's going to be kind of like Black Widow in Winter Soldier, that he's going to be a major character in that. And yeah, that's possible, but we just went through this with Civil War, right? Where you know, people were asking Mark Ruffalo, is Hulk in Civil War? And he said no. And then Robert Downey Jr. said, oh yeah, actually he is. And Mark Ruffalo said, I know nothing about this. And then pretty soon they said, oh, well, he's been seen in Germany filming it. And then after that they said, oh, actually he went over there and they thought about filming some stuff, but they decided not to.
That's crazy. You know, I mean, who knows, you know? I mean, it is interesting to me, though, that I don't know if it's a desire from mm-hmm. fans to just see it more and more connected,
mm-hmm.
but I mean, to me, I you know, whereas I'm willing to be open to any ideas that sure. they've got to go, depending on the story, but I'd like to see just a Thor movie, please. Like, I don't,
yeah,
like, the Hulk doesn't seem like he really needs to be there.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, unless they were planning to do something to lead them to. Because I think one of the most popular Hulk stories that we've seen in the last mm-hmm. decade or so has been Planet Hulk.
Yeah, Planet Hulk and World War Hulk are right. the ones that everyone
and
talks about.
And if they were planning to get Hulk off Earth
mm-hmm.
and maybe just some sort of subplot in the Thor movie so that we would be able to see that,
mm-hmm.
And then Hulk could have his own movie, you know, Planet Hulk, that would be something that I think people would be pretty interested in, because it would be unlike anything Hulk related that anybody, like, you know, that hasn't read comics has seen right. before with that character.
Right. And that's, you know, that's one of the rumors, is that, you know, they may be, I'm blanking right now on who it is. Is it Universal that has the Hulk solo movie rights?
I thought they reverted. I thought the Hulk reverted back to Marvel.
No. Apparently, it's they have a very complicated deal. And at one point, I posted up something, gotcha. But yeah, it's sort of like you know, like with Spidey, Marvel has the right to use him in group movies.
Gotcha.
But Sony retains control over solo stuff. That's my understanding, is that they've got him for team movies, but not for solo stuff. And Ruffalo has commented as much on that before. But yeah, I mean, I think that I agree. I like solo movies. I liked the amount of character growth time that you get out of a solo movie. You know, I think Civil War is going to be fantastic, but it's not a Captain America movie the way that it sounds right now. It's, you know, it's like Avengers. It's got so many people in it that you're not going to have any, you know, any one character really get a moment to shine, except for, you know, hopefully Cap and Iron Man. But, right. But yeah, I think that, you know, I'm hoping that, and it seems like, you know, Ragnarok is a very, and again, this is coming from somebody who has not read the comics, but it seems like it's, you know, something that is a very, very big deal for that character, and also because that brings a lot of the Infinity Stone stuff back into the MCU and gets going leading up to Infinity War. So I hope it stays focused, but, you know, at the same time, I've learned to trust Marvel, and, you know, if they want to put Hulk in it, I have a feeling it will be good. So.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, sure. I mean, and you never know, like, how that could happen. But, you know, I definitely am, and, you know, I think out of all the heroes in mm-hmm. their solo films, I feel most excited by the Thor movies.
Yeah.
I love the Norse mythology, and mm-hmm. I like, you know, that sort of element to it. So that's the other thing about the solo movies, too, is that they allow these characters to have their own flavor.
Right.
And develop themselves without having to depend on, you know, whereas I agree, whereas Civil War does seem like a big, huge, you know, Avengers and superhero mm-hmm. movie, I think it does still, it still probably has the ability to feel like a Captain America
sure,
story.
Sure.
Because, you know, Captain America, Civil War, it just sounds like a Cap story.
Yes,
you know?
Absolutely, absolutely.
So I think, you know, and he'll be the... Yeah, my mm-hmm. guess is that he will be the central character of what's going on.
Yes.
So, I even though, you know, they're going to play around with a lot of different elements of the MCU, mm-hmm. maybe bring it closer, more together than anything that we've seen.
Mm-hmm.
But we still haven't seen too much of the TV reflected back into the movies, which mm-hmm. I think would be kind of nice.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I want to say that. Blanking on his name. I can't remember. But anyway, that I know there are there is some crossover from some characters into Civil War, but yeah, we'll have to see. In terms of Ragnarok, there was an article that came out today that I had recently that I had flagged because they were talking about possible, you know, storylines and things sure. that were going on for Thor and whatnot. And I'm trying to find the exact line. They were talking about how the reason why they got a director who's known for his comedies is because the Thor movies had been too dark.
Hmm.
And then, where is it?
Well, the new movie is called Dark World. If it does have to do with Ragnarok.
Yeah.
Then
it's kind of the end of the world.
Yeah, I would think that. Yeah, I mean, with the last movie being called Dark World and this one being leading up into Ragnarok, I would think that it would be kind of, you know, dark.
Right.
I do think it, you know, it should be like, and there's been different. There's been, I don't know how many different Ragnaroks in the comics.
Mm-hmm.
Like the end of the end has been played out more than a few times in the comic run. So it'd be interesting to see what take they do on this one, or whether it's, you know, my guess is that they'll do what they always do. They'll pull a couple things that'll mm-hmm. be like, this is really cool from that story. This is really cool from this story. We're going to make it, you know, blend in with this and do our own thing. And it'll be great.
Yeah.
If it's true that they are introducing the Valkyries, I'm very excited about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's one of the things that this one mentions is that, you know, they're going to, potentially be introducing the Valkyries, and that could be a possible if they end up passing the torch from Chris Hemsworth Thor to another person, that since we've got a female Thor in the comics, that it would make sense for it to potentially be one of the Valkyries. But yeah, I just found this is something from Screen Rant. And I'm not joking you, this is what it says. Both Thor and Thor the Dark World are some of the lightest and comedic films in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. What?
Okay, there are some really funny moments.
Sure.
I mean, in both.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if I would agree that they are the most amusing.
No, I
mean, certainly when you compare it to Ant-Man, which is just almost a complete farce.
Right, right. You know, which is, you know, just, it's a fun romp.
Yeah.
But, you know, not to say that there aren't dark moments in it, but, you know,
oh, right.
There's way more zingers in your average Iron Man movie than you would have in any of the Thor movies. And like, you know, you and I were saying that I think of that as being, you know, like mythic epic fantasy, not light and comedic. But
right.
But anyway, supposedly the concern is that Ragnarok was just too dark and depressing, and that they had brought in the new director to give it a lighter tone. But we'll see. We'll see.
Yes.
I personally absolutely loved the first Thor movie, and that was directed by a Shakespeare director. So
sure.
Go figure. because Kenneth Branagh was I think a great choice for that, but not who I think anybody would have necessarily picked for that. But again, Marvel does a good job with who they pick for stuff.
Yeah, he's definitely set a great tone.
So any other stuff you can think of for news this week?
I think that's mostly the big stuff. Yeah. Like I said, I mean, something's coming out every day. So,
and even if it's not real news, it's somebody starting a rumor. So,
by the time people actually hear this, four more stories will have broken.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So, it's so difficult to keep up. I definitely feel you.
Yeah, definitely. All right, cool. Well, we are going to take a short break then, and when we come back, we will be talking about this week's episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., A Wanted Inhuman.
Hi, this is Siri. I would never, never ever listen to the Earth Station One podcast. Who the heck says howdy anyway? Why don't you listen to Chris Hardwick instead? I can get you his information. The Nerdist is everywhere anyway, haha. That was a joke. The Earth Station One podcast. It's time to let your inner geek out to play. You can find them at www.earthstationone.com or up on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or wherever fine podcasts are found. Peace, and we're done.
Welcome back, Marvel Universe, and now we are going to talk a little bit about this week's episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Definitely one that has got a lot of people talking on the internet, a lot of people not happy with Director Coulson after this episode, and probably for good reason. So what did you think of this week's episode, Mike?
Overall, I thought that there was a lot going on. They mm-hmm. had four storylines, mm-hmm. which is, you know, pretty...
That's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot to juggle. I don't know if the pacing was great mm-hmm. Between all four, mm-hmm. but by the end, all four got to where they needed to be, mm-hmm. and there was some pretty interesting outcomes from all four of those. But yeah. I'm not sure, like the mix of them was kind of inconsistent. There was a lot of stuff that was kind of like, wow, this is not as exciting as I want this to be, you
right.
know?
Right. And there was so much switching back and forth. You know, typically with most shows, you've got maybe, you know, two, possibly three plot lines. But we had what was going on with Lincoln. We had, you know, the stuff with Rosalind and Phil. We had Hunter and May and Spud, who was just wonderful. And then we had the Fitzsimmons stuff. And that was, they were not all going at the same time, which was good. I mean, like, we really only got the Fitzsimmons stuff in the last 10 minutes or so.
Right.
But yeah, there was a lot to juggle, definitely. This was, for me, one of the things that I have liked about S.H.I.E.L.D. recently is that it seems like people are not being dumb, you know? They've for the most part, you know, they've gotten over, you know, the, why is this person doing this? This makes no sense. And we kind of had a return to some of that this week, I felt like. You know, I really enjoyed the plot line with Hunter and May, but...
I'm not convinced of their plan.
Yeah, like, yeah, exactly.
It seems, you know, I'm like, okay, well, you know, Ward in particular knows you.
Yes.
Hunter. So, yes, I mean, I know that May brought it up last week and he had a cool line where he said, you know, if he's close enough to recognize me, then I'm close enough to kill him or something like that.
Except if there's video.
And I'm like, you know, if you're, yeah, it's like, hey, Ward, check out the new recruits. Like, here's a list of, here's pictures of everybody that we've got coming up. And Ward's just going to flip through and go, hey, I know that
him.
Guy.
Exactly. You know, it's Hunter's plan and it doesn't seem super smart, but I thought it was interesting that, is it just me or do you think that May is aware that this is a dumb plan and is kind of subverting it?
I don't know. I'd like to give May a little bit more credit than you know, be like having a death wish,
right?
Because that's what is ultimately going to happen to both of them if they continue along this
right.
path. I think so. Because you know we've seen that you know Ward's not one to mess with, and I think the biggest disappointment for me in this was that I thought Hunter was going to be a better fighter.
Yes.
I mean, even he said that something like you know he's He never loses when he's sober.
Right.
And you know, to the extent that, I mean, he pretty much, I mean, obviously he has to quote unquote cheat to win.
Right.
Not that there's really any cheating here, right. But I thought, I mean, like, I thought, yeah, if you have to go up against Ward, you're pretty much going to get your ass kicked.
Yeah.
Like, I don't feel that. Now, May's another story.
Yes.
I have no doubt that May can take Ward.
Absolutely.
But Hunter, I'm not convinced. So I'm worried for him.
Yes, I agree. I was glad that we got a good fight scene for May. That was definitely awesome. And I
with the, one of the best, I think the quote of the show.
Which one?
Which at the end, which after she defeated him.
About the, you just got your ass kicked by a tiny little Asian woman or something.
Yeah, I'm not going to tell anybody. Yeah.
Right. But that's why I think that she's doing something subversive, because that was, you know, that was the point that was made early on was, you know, if Ward hears that this, you know, little Asian woman kicks somebody's ass, of course he's going to know that it's May.
Yeah.
And May totally walked those two guys away from the rest of
yep.
the people.
She knows exactly what she's doing.
Exactly. And kicked their ass and basically said, you know, all but said, tell Ward that May's coming after him.
Well, I mean, no, was... I actually got the impression of the opposite thing.
Really?
Where she was like, you know, you're not going to tell anybody this because, yeah, because it doesn't look good for you.
Maybe.
That's the way I took it.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's validity to that too, but I guess part of it is just me going, there's no way that she's that dumb, you know?
Yeah, I don't know what these two, yeah, this is... I don't want to say it's the dumbest storyline that they've got going,
right.
But it's kind of like I do need to see a little bit more intelligence on the way they're going to infiltrate.
Right.
Because it just doesn't seem like it's going to end up very well for them. Now, I don't expect either one of these characters to die.
No.
So, but, you know, be used as a bargaining chip? Hell yes.
Absolutely. And if they're going to do something smart, they better do it fast, because they've already made it up as far as Ward's right-hand man at this point.
Yes.
So, you know.
Dead.
What's that?
I thought he was dead.
Yeah.
I was kind of surprised to see him. He looked pretty well.
Yeah, definitely. But I mean, who knows? Maybe he's, you know, I don't know, cloned or multiple man, or you never know with a superhero show,
yeah,
right?
That's true. Well, you know, Hydra, you know.
Exactly.
Two more take its place, so.
Exactly. possibly literally, if they're cloning them, who knows? But yeah, so there's that plot line. Also on the not super smart end, we had what was going on with Lincoln, and
yes,
you know,
I want to like that kid. I really want to like that kid.
Yes, and I totally understand him not trusting S.H.I.E.L.D. That is absolutely makes perfect sense. But at the same time, once he realizes that, like, the government is after him, you know, I would be like, okay, of the choices that I have, S.H.I.E.L.D. is not so bad. And so I was surprised that it took him as long as it did. And can we just also talk about the fact that he electrocuted a guy, and isn't he supposed to be a doctor?
Yes.
And he, like, apparently he gave the guy a heart attack, and I'm like, have you not figured out how to use your electricity powers as a defibrillator? Because,
yeah.
I mean, that's like the obvious thing to do, it seemed like. Or at least, you know, give the guy, you know, resuscitation or
well, to
or
his
something.
Credit, there was only maybe like a minute tops between like when that happened and when there was someone at the door.
True, but he wasn't doing anything. I was expecting, okay, he's a doctor. He's immediately going to go, oh, I see what happened. I need to save my friend's life.
Right.
And that didn't happen, which I thought was kind of weird, but
yeah,
I don't know.
And that, I can't think of the actor's name, but Daniel Roebuck. But I mean, he is one of those guys that you kind of see and you go, hey, I know him. And I was kind of surprised he was used in such a casual fashion.
Yeah.
So, cause I kind of expected a little bit more from, unfortunately I wasn't expecting, I mean, I was expecting him to turn, to turn him in. And that was no surprise. So there wasn't really a lot that was
not a lot of options there.
Yeah, there wasn't really a lot. But I mean, as far as the storyline there, there wasn't a lot that was really surprising to me.
Yeah.
Except I think, you know, Daisy's not, she's not winning me over either.
Yeah.
I don't think she's playing smart.
I think part of it is that she's, you know, she's new to the whole thing. She's a little bit naive, I think. I think that it was a good call on Coulson's part to pair her up with Mac, because I think he's a grounding force. But that whole situation, again, getting back to the, what were you thinking? It's like when Phil decides he's going to meet with Rosalind there, I mean, I'm not, it just seems like he could have foreseen what was going to happen there, you know? Because, I mean, he knows that Lincoln is pretty darn resourceful, and there was certainly a chance of him getting away. And if he did get away, then obviously, who are they going to go for?
True, but to Coulson's credit, I think he also was looking for a reason to team up. I mean, yes. he said that he, you know, and I take him at his word. I mean, mm-hmm. he's tired of fighting with all these other groups when there's really some stuff that needs to happen here.
Yeah.
And combining their efforts. I mean, the one thing that we saw where mm-hmm. it seemed like it was just this clunky plot device of them releasing Lincoln's name to the press and everybody having these bad feelings about these Inhumans and mm-hmm. whatnot. That obviously is laying seeds for the Civil War.
Right.
And, the fact that, you know, people in America and probably the world in the MCU are just really freaked out by metahumans or mm-hmm. inhumans or
whatever,
you know, whatever they're going to call
it. Yeah.
Superheroes in general. So they're not going to feel safe. You know, once you start talking about aliens, I mean, that's when mm-hmm. I think his friend really freaked out. The fact
yeah.
that, you know, he might have been an alien. So,
yeah.
So he's got, you know, there's that sort of paranoia is gonna play into, of course, the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to lay the foundation for that, which I thought they did a pretty good job of.
Mm-hmm.
And Coulson sees it, and he's like, "This is not the right way to go," but he's powerless to do anything against it, at least as far as right now goes.
Right. It just, I don't know. To me, it just seemed like that was an obvious double cross coming for them to be like, oh, well, we didn't get him, so we're not going to take Daisy now.
I think they're also, I think one thing that I've noticed this year is that mm-hmm. despite the fact that Coulson cares very much for Daisy,
mm-hmm.
And I have to pause before I call her Daisy. If you've noticed, I have to take a couple breaths because I have to, you know, it's like Scott, no, Daisy.
John and I said we were going to have a swear jar, you know, like every time you accidentally call her Sky. And
yeah,
I was like,
yeah.
Well, what about Quake? Can we call her Quake? So. but
not,
yes.
Not yet, but probably soon.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they've done I see what there's this conflict
mm-hmm.
that even though they care for one another, they're really not sure how to work together.
Yeah.
And they're really, I mean, their goals are the same, but their methods have been this season very different
mm-hmm.
and they're clashing big time. And I, you know, I do wonder if that's going to, you know, become a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
It could become just a bigger and bigger chasm between them as the season goes on.
Well, and I think it's the same thing that was there from the beginning. You know, she was the rebel hacker, you know, fight the system person, and he is like the ultimate the system guy. And since becoming director, he's had to become even more so the guy who doesn't tell everybody everything, you know, who has to keep some secrets, who has to make some hard decisions that other people don't like. And she's, you know, she's got this whole new, you know, crusade, this whole thing that is she's very, very passionate about, in terms of the Inhumans. And, you know, I think that's a, you know, you can look at it in a lot of ways. You can look at it as a, you know, a father-daughter, you know, generation gap kind of thing, or, you know, the system versus the rebels, or whatever. But I don't think that she's going to leave or anything. I think that she's still going to be tight, but I think that tension is going to make for, you know, some good drama over the next season.
Yeah, certainly. And like I said, I see that just getting bigger and bigger.
But yeah.
Between them, there's going to be, you know, something that happens where there's going to be a come to Jesus moment between them, I think. So,
yeah.
Which will be interesting. I mean, you know, because I think, you know, I mean, I'll, you know, I think Coulson would admit that right now he's not on his A game.
Right.
And the team is fractured. Mm-hmm. That's, I think, S.H.I.E.L.D.'s smaller than, you know, it hasn't been. I was talking with someone about the show earlier this week, and I was kind of trying to figure out in my head, like, where do they get their funding? Like, how are they able to operate as an entity? Like, how many, like, how big is S.H.I.E.L.D. right now? I mean,
well, they implied at one point was that, and I keep wanting to call her Robin, Maria Hill, that Maria Hill, of course, knows what's going on, and she's working in some capacity at Stark, and that she was going to be funneling, you know, some money his way. But at the same time, I mean, they've got kind of a nice ride right now. That wasn't cheap.
So, right. Absolutely. I think they've got one helicarrier.
Yeah.
They've got one underground base that we know of.
Right.
They're probably, they're much bigger than what we're seeing on the screen, obviously.
They've got things like that, that thing they used in the first episode where they like drop it on the ground and it becomes this giant elevator that goes up to the helicarrier.
Cause can't be too expensive, Tom.
Yeah, I'm sure that was just cheap.
But you know, I don't know if they're if their ranks are in the hundreds or thousands still at this point, if they've got operatives, I think they've still got operatives all around the world.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, but it does seem like despite that, their resources are slim. And, and you know, I mean, I think it's interesting that we do have a merger between, you know, Rosalind and Coulson. Just because, obviously, we know of two other factions that are out there that are, and I do appreciate that right from the get-go, this series, season three, has started giving us, like, an enemy, like, multiple enemies from different directions.
Right, right.
And that's pretty exciting, because it's like, you don't know where the next punch could come from.
Yes.
I mean, we went without seeing anything from, is it Lash? What's the creature's name?
Yep.
Yeah.
The one that I thought was another Sonic the Hedgehog from the first
one. Yeah. Well, it's interesting is because I read I'm not a big X-Men or Inhumans reader, but they had a backup of a story, I think, or a preview story in one of the Spider-Man issues about a few months ago, and it had that character in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, so when I saw it on TV, I didn't recognize him at all, of course. Mm-hmm. I was just like, I've never seen that character. And then I've come to find out, oh, I guess I did read a story with him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But if I don't know if he's working by himself, but I doubt it.
Yeah.
So that's the big question is to, you know, what does he represent? Is it like a group of Inhumans that still exists somewhere that are
trying I think they implied that he was someone who personally or who he was with felt that, you know, anyone who, you know, went through Terra Genesis as a result of fish oil was, you know, unworthy or something.
Yeah, that's what, well, yeah, the thought, the story that I read was basically he attacked I think one or two individuals that had been exposed to the mist and were starting to develop powers. And he killed one of them. And the other one, I think someone else interfered on their behalf, but yeah, his, and I can't remember if he was working with someone or not, but he was pretty much of the opinion that, these persons and humans are not worthy,
right?
Or I'm going to test whether or not they're worthy.
Sure.
And if they can survive me, then they're worthy.
Right.
But you know, that's kind of an errant knight's tale, so to speak. But
sure.
I'm wondering, like, we don't know enough about him. We don't know if there's a group of Inhumans that he represents.
Sure.
or if he's just acting on his own accord.
Yeah.
I tend to think that it's going to be the former, though. I think there's going to be, like, there's a few of them.
And then there's the question of, is that the same group or the same individuals that are killing Inhumans that Rosalind's team is finding that she was blaming on S.H.I.E.L.D.?
My guess is that that's yes. I think that the Inhumans that they picked up that have been dead were from he was just he was killing them to test them and they didn't pass. So that, I mean, if there's another entity out there too, then wow, that makes it even more convoluted. But
right.
Between Lash and his possible group of Inhumans and Hydra.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, you know, the U.S. agency that now is not so much of a threat, although obviously there's going to be trust issues when they're working together.
Oh, there's going to be trust issues. There's going to be, you know, methodology in terms of how we should do things. And it's definitely not going to be a good fit. But I think it will make for good story. And, you know, so that's great.
And there's no, discounting the fact that Constance Zimmer and Clark Gregg are awesome together.
Yes,
I'm not saying that they don't, I'm not pushing for a romantic, because it doesn't always have to go that route.
Exactly.
But I do think that they have a pretty good chemistry. I like seeing them on the screen together, play the dance, so to speak. And they're really good at it. And so I will enjoy this season watching more of that.
Yes. Yes. I think that's going to be awesome. And then, of course, we have what happened in the last 10 minutes, which was full of angst and feels and stuff with Fitz and Simmons.
Right. Now, technically the big stuff happened in the last 10 minutes, but throughout the episode, they did build to it.
Oh, yes. I mean, yes, they did.
So it wasn't like, we didn't see him until then. I mean, there was some nice scenes.
Yes.
Between Daisy and Gemma. I thought that was a very nice scene.
Yep.
And
Bobby
also
and Gemma too.
Bobby and Fitz had a nice scene together as well.
Yep.
I do kind of question Fitz's, I think Bobby told him to do something like new.
Right.
And what he came up with was incredibly romantic.
Yes.
But yet it was, this is what we were going to do before you got, before you got sucked away. So it's like, I don't know how new that was.
Yes, definitely not new, but it was definitely a big, a big splashy thing to do. Very, very impressive.
Absolutely.
And everything. And then, of course I was saying last week that, last season was Fitz's season to be, really broken.
Yeah.
And PTSD. And this is Simmons' turn. And people were like, oh, it's not going to be that bad. But, of course, at the end, she's like, we have to go back. And I thought it was very funny. I think it was either Hannah or Jenna Johnson. I can't remember. But one of my Marvel friends posted, Kate, we have to go back to the island.
Yeah. No, I mean, all of us who went through Lost got some flashbacks on that.
Right.
We have to go back. So
exactly. But the big question is, why does she want to go back?
Right.
And I had just based on the way that they had set it up, I could not believe that she had been there for months and months and months completely by herself and survived. I mean, she's resourceful and everything, but I don't know about that. So, and in the previous episode, they had made that big deal out of that opening scene with the guys in the 1800s, I guess it was.
Yes.
Sending people off every year and drawing lots. So, I mean, I think there's got to be somebody there that she wants to go back for.
I feel that you're right. And yeah, I mean, it's the constant obstacles in the Fitzsimmons relationships are going to drive so many people crazy.
Absolutely.
So I don't, obviously we live in dramatic times.
Right.
So So yes, there's going to be some issues, but exactly how, like, what her relationship is with, because I think you're right. I think that guy mm-hmm. is going to be still around.
I
don't know how to explain
time
it.
Works differently there.
Absolutely.
Or any
they can easily kind of just throw that in there.
Sure.
It's like, well, time just stops there or whatever, mm-hmm. you know? So, or that she could have been on there for 100 years
right.
or whatever. We don't know. Because definitely something's going on. She's going to come back scarred.
Yeah.
I mean, in more ways than just trauma.
Right. Exactly. And I think there's two interesting ideas out there. One is the fact that, you know, she came back, she's like overly sensitive to things and whatnot. And she's got something, you know, off with her biochemistry. And one theory has been put out there that she came back possibly pregnant.
Yep, the series has jumped the shark.
So that is
once you introduced a baby, then, you know, comedy. Well, that's it.
There's that. It's possible that she's pregnant. It's possible that she came back with some kind of crazy Kree inhuman killing powers or something. Which if that was. And I think most of people's basis for that being the Kree homeworld is the fact they used a blue filter on it.
Yeah, well, but, I mean, the fact that it's Kree makes sense
yes.
because it, yeah,
it's
obviously.
A Kree artifact and everything. But
yeah, but I got the impression that, you know, based on, now this might have been something that the Earthmen just kind of assumed.
Mm-hmm.
But I, with all the warnings that it was for punishment, I got mm-hmm. the impression that this was a punishment world. Like, this is where they send criminals.
Oh, okay. That would be interesting.
So, and I could be completely wrong about that, but it just, you know, with all, because they seemed to make a point about, like,
yeah.
oh, this means, like, you know, punishment. I'm like, yeah, that would suck to get put in that world. Kind of like the Phantom Zone in, you know.
And the Hebrew word for death. Right Professor Randolph said no, it was more like punishment.
Yes, and
yeah.
so that's what I'm kind
it's
of
like
thinking.
A death sentence kind of.
Yes,
thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I thought that was really interesting. I didn't think that was a throwaway. So
yeah. Go ahead.
But whether or not, I mean, it didn't look like the gentleman who got put there, you know, from the 1800s or whatever mm-hmm. was being punished.
No, it was they totally drew lots for it.
Yeah.
So
that was more of an exploratory thing,
right.
I think. Like, okay, well, somebody has to go in. So
I thought somebody made a really good observation on one of the groups that I'm on that I had completely not caught, which was that I guess in the 1800s scene a couple episodes ago, the guy had a bottle of wine with him. I didn't recall that, but somebody is swearing that was the case. And the point where Simmons loses it is when she sees the bottle of wine on the table with Fitz. So some people are claiming that was what that trigger was.
I could easily see that. Now that you say that, I
mm-hmm.
think he did go in with some supplies. I think he did have some wine with him as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't catch that. So that's an interesting trigger. I could see that playing out.
Right. And that we're going to get a flashback scene or something of him saying, I've been saving this bottle of wine for, you know, the first time that I met somebody or something like that and having a scene there. So that would, I think that would be, that lends credence to the idea that it's the same guy, I think.
Right.
If that's correct.
And then, you know, I mean, obviously, and it's not going to be pleasant,
mm-hmm.
like, you know, because we're going to see, you know, Fitz go through all sorts of pain.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, as much as we all love him, it's going to, you know, we thought he was broken last season. He's going to be downright miserable. You know, it's interesting, though, because I've kind of always thought
mm-hmm.
that the character would eventually turn heel.
Yeah.
And I thought that last year with him being, you know, broken, I thought, well, he's going to do something. Maybe
mm-hmm.
he's going to do something drastic to
yeah.
try to fix himself.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to turn out to be, you know, and he's going to go off the reservation and they're going to have to, you know, he'll become a bad guy as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I think that that option still might be on the table.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, in the first episode of the season, I thought he was absolutely amazing going into the terrorists and kicking ass and everything.
Yes.
But it's interesting you mention that, because when he's like, yeah, I'm giving you a super weapon, I totally believe that Fitz would do that. If it was to get Simmons back, he would totally sell, you know, massively forbidden technology to bad guys.
Yes.
If it meant he could get Simmons back. So yeah, I think that's you're right. I think that's definitely still on the table, and that would break a lot of people's hearts, but I think it would, you know, it would be an interesting development. But
well, if she's had some sort of relationship while mm-hmm. she was away, then, you know, I think that's going to break a lot of people's hearts too.
Yeah.
So there's, I don't think that, you know, I think this is going to be a rough one for a lot of people who are just holding on to the Fitzsimmons relationship.
Oh, yeah.
And I've even seen people coming back to the show because mm-hmm. of, I mean, it's so strong.
Wow.
That, and they really are, I mean, they're played very well.
Exceptionally.
And they have great chemistry and. Mm-hmm. You know, who doesn't want to see these crazy kids, like, you know, and of course their name just clicks like
yes.
like two puzzle pieces,
yep.
you know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So I guess it's time to do ratings. So on a scale of 1 to 5 shields, with 1 being terrible and 5 being best episode ever, where would you place this episode?
I think I got to get this one a 3.5.
Okay.
I just think that I like some of the places that it was going.
Mm-hmm.
And when we got there, it was cool. But I thought I think overall there could have been more interesting ways to go about it.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, I like watching. It's really different now because, that first season, it's just so it goes to show you what a difference it is. Because I just thought that there was, with few exceptions, everybody was kind of bland.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm having fun watching, you know, certainly Greg and Wen and, mm-hmm. and Dalton and even Bennett to an extent mm-hmm. work, but I'm just not I just wasn't feeling like some of the plot lines that they were going through. Like we've said before, I mean, the May storyline with Hunter.
Yeah.
They're great characters, fun scenes, mm-hmm. but yet we're kind of like, this is kind of dumb. We don't really see where this is, like, how this is going to end well for them.
Right.
Also, it was the Lincoln stuff was kind of clunky. I mean, all that effort, and he's still on the loose. I mm-hmm. mean, there's nothing, you know, what's going to happen with him?
Sure.
So I have to kind of just give it, like, not, I mean, I would say the first two episodes were definite fours.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This one dropped a little bit for me.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. That's exactly where I was headed. I'm also going to say a 3.5. I think that, I mean, I think it was a very good 3.5. I thought it was
sure.
still a good episode. It was still fun. There was, you know, still a lot of really, really great moments in it. But any time when I find myself going, because I like it when the show surprises me. I like it when the show, you know, makes me, you know, say, oh, I didn't see that coming or something. And I felt like I saw the twist coming on this one a little bit too early, you know?
Yeah.
And characters being dumb just...
Sometimes characters are just dumb. And I get that. And sometimes that's hard to watch because mm-hmm. you're like, oh, they're dumb. But, you know, when it goes on for like 4 or 5 episodes, when mm-hmm. they're, it's kind of like, and when smart characters come in and like don't help the dumb ones.
Right.
That's
right.
When it's like, yeah, you know, because I thought, you know, once May was involved, that this Hunter thing would be a little
she
bit more.
She would get him back on track. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought it was going to be a little bit more like, okay, well, I can see where this is going to work now, but mm-hmm. now I'm more confused than ever now.
Yeah. I agree. Well, thank you very much for coming by on short notice. I really appreciate it. And it's always a pleasure to talk with you, sir.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure to be back on with you. Mm-hmm. I love talking to you, Jen.
Yeah. Awesome. So you want to give us a plug for your other endeavors?
Sure, sure. Well, of course, you know, writing, publishing, you can find all my books and CDs and everything else I'm involved with in that at newlegendmike.com.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also hear me weekly on the Earth Station 1 podcast, which is earthstation1.com.
Mm-hmm. And also, you have another podcast.
I do! which is, I... I don't want to leave that one out, especially since we're doing it weekly now.
Exactly.
So the Earth Station Who podcast, which we have a lot of fun with.
Yes, we do.
It's been great to have you and continued to have you on the show with that, too, and to review the new season of Doctor Who.
Oh, I'm loving this season. This season's awesome. So, excellent. Well, thank you very much, sir. We've got another episode coming up next week. It looks like we're going to get back to the plot with Andrew and with Ward and everything. So I think we got some fun stuff to look forward to next week as well. So, everybody, sit tight, and we will talk to you in 1 week.
Earth Station MCU's logo is by Mr. Mike Faber, and our show is produced by me, Jennifer Hartshorn. We would like to thank all of our listeners and all of the online groups that let us promote our episodes, including Marvel Cinematic Universe, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Cosplayers, Welcome to Level 7, the DragonCon American Sci-Fi Group, the other Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and Metro Atlantic Geeks on Facebook, as well as Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Marvel's MCU, and Marvel's Agent Carter on G+. Visit our webpage at earthstationmcu.wordpress.com or join the conversation on our Facebook group, Earth Station MCU.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at esonetwork.com.